Hello, and welcome to the NPRD podcast with nurse practitioner and registered dietitian Robin Kiewit. Eating disorders, body image, medicine, they are all interconnected. But with so many programs, techniques, and advice to choose from, it's easy to be overwhelmed. Robin, with more than 25 years of experience as a nurse practitioner and registered dietitian, offers help and hope for everyone, families, children, and adults. Along with veteran talk show host and good friend, Jordan Rich, Robin invites you to learn much more right here on the NPRD podcast.
This podcast is sponsored by Galen Hope, a mental health and eating disorder treatment center. Call 561-556-8208 or visit galenhope.com. That's G-A-L-E-N, galenhope.com. And now, here's Robin.
Welcome back to the next edition of the NPRD podcast. We have two guests today, and that's not a usual occurrence. We have a guest from close geographically, Lisa Pearl, and then we have a guest from very far away, Fiona Sutherland from Australia.
Hey, Robin. Great to be here.
Thank you both. And you two are going to be together very soon. That's what we're going to talk about. So I want to introduce you both and tell our listeners how we met. Lisa, I'll start with you. Lisa is a registered dietitian and eating disorder specialist. She began her practice over 40 years ago using the foundations of health at every size and mindfulness. For the first decade of her career, and this is very important, she was the beneficiary of weekly supervision from a variety of clinical disciplines, allowing her an extraordinary breadth of perspective, which not many people received. And I think that's so great. While continuing to participate in her own supervision, she's been offering supervision to other clinicians for 30 years. Through word of mouth, her practice has evolved to providing mostly dietetic supervision. And 5 years ago, while Fiona was visiting New York for a conference, they began to collaborate on how supervision could be enhanced and uniquely understood for dietitians and dietetic supervisors. Lisa lives not too far away from me. She is the founder of Counseling and Nutrition Center 360 in Lexington, Massachusetts. And together with Marcy Evans, she has co-created the eating disorder concentration for MSDI students at Simmons. Marcy was a guest on the podcast a long time ago. And Fiona is an accredited practicing dietitian, yoga teacher, and clinical supervisor from NARM, Melbourne, Australia. As director of the Mindful Dietitian, she is the Mindful Dietitian. She brings over 20 years experience of clinical work, consultancy, and supervision work to the eating disorder and sports field, and more broadly, the dietetic profession. She has designed, developed, and delivered an extensive array of education and training courses, has considerable speaking experience internationally and locally, and in recent years has been highly involved in advocating for and contributing to dietitians and eating disorders workforce development strategies, including the training and supervision alongside the National Eating Disorders Collaboration, which is out of Australia. So you two have incredible bios. This is such an honor for me to have you both on at one time. And I'm very excited to talk about what we're going to talk about today, which is something I did not have when I was a younger clinician. I want to tell our listeners how we met. I met Fiona at the Body Image Workshop for Clinicians. I'm holding up my book. We got these decks of cards, these body healing cards. I proceeded to buy 25 decks, as many as I could, to give to as many patients as I could as gifts. I still use them every day. So I took her training. And then Lisa and I met more collegially because we were working in towns similar and next to each other, and actually have gotten to share patients more recently throughout COVID, which has been really special. So thank you both for being on.
Oh, it's a delight. I'm excited. I can't wait to dive
in. Me too.
So the first thing I want to do is share with our listeners, and we're going to do it a couple times in this show, is to share with our listeners how to find this training that you two are offering, which is supervision training for dietitians. I also want to be careful to say that we also might be calling it clinical and reflective supervision. Is that true? Who can, Lisa, would you jump in there?
Sure. I think that Fiona and I both practice something that we call reflective supervision. And I think that distinguishes it a little bit differently from how other people might envision what supervision is. So that might just kind of give us a little bit of a distinction in how we think about supervision as a reflective dialogue rather than some managerial process or a credentialing process or some kind of oversight of pre-professional learning. This is really a professional endeavor that people choose to participate in, and it's a very reflective process.
I really appreciate you using the word reflective that way, because as I was reading it and then listening to you, I was thinking the same thing, right? The thing that's really amazing about, well, there's so many things that are amazing about what you're offering, but one of the things I think that's really so central to what you're offering and looking at the website and who is this suitable for is you're asking for dietitians to have at least 6 years of clinical practice and being in their own supervision, reflective supervision, if you will, for 2 years. Fiona, can you speak to why that is important, why those two pieces, why you and Lisa decided those two pieces were important?
Yeah. So, Robin, what we were thinking about is creating a really intentional event, one which invites collaborative spirit with colleagues and where we can build a sense of what supervision is and how to support our colleagues in this practice through a truly much more collaborative way of being. So although we recognize that supervision as a practice has many different ways of being understood, we wanted to offer something that really invites some consistency and some anchor points. And rather than being something that we undertake as a result of years in practice or seniority or something like that, we wanted to really name intentionally with kindness as well that reflective supervision as a supervisor really requires a very specific, distinct skill set. That it sits alongside clinical practice, sits alongside beautifully clinical practice, but it also requires us to be able to hold space for others and ourselves in very specific ways. It kind of, it speaks to the intersection of the personal meets the professional. It's more than what we know and how we are able to quote unquote deliver information to our colleagues. But then also it's a space holding activity for the supervisor. And so we wanted to be really specific, and we understand that this is going to limit the numbers of people who will attend this training event. But we wanted to be really deliberate about that.
So you've gone to explain partly what my next question really is, which is how is this different to other learning support opportunities? And Lisa, you did too. It's something that a clinician would choose after they've been in practice. It's something that a clinician would choose after they've received some kind of supervision. The word reflective to me makes it feel much more collegial from the beginning. You know, much more of a thoughtful learning process for not just the supervisor, which would be you and Fiona in this situation teaching, but then eventually the dietitians that you're training. It's not just them telling or being in charge, or, you know, we can all go back to our clinical days where we, you know, had a different learning situation presented to us. This is just I get the sense that it's much more warm, and it also really needs us to take good looks at ourselves always, right? So, Lisa, what do you think?
I think you're describing the essence beautifully, that this is a process that's deep and it's relational and it can span an entire career. I mean, for myself personally, I didn't know I needed supervision. I wouldn't have been able to say to you, gee, you know, I think I don't know what I don't know, so I should go get some supervision. It was only after I had participated in several sessions of supervision that I realized, wow, this is amazing. This is just what I need to both feel supported, to feel like I can be competent, that I can engage in this work, that I can continue to learn. There's so many different perspectives that I can receive. And that's only going to help me, but also, of course, help my client. And I, as I've gotten older, there's so many gifts that supervision has given me from the very beginning, learning more skills, gaining more knowledge, getting perspective on my clients, and then really getting to practice a lot of that with my supervisor, you know, being able to engage in different treatment formulations or counseling strategies and explore what that might be like with my clients. So there's all this kind of knowledge and education that through the supervision process really becomes assimilated or even embodied, so that when you deliver it to your clients, it's much more organic. It flows more naturally. You know, the supervision process for me, I'm at a point now in my career where I learn so much from people who are still ahead of me, who are still 20 years older than me. And I learn a ton from the people like Fiona Sutherland, you know, and Marcy Evans and all the other supervisors in my life. And there's a richness of that, you know, woven tapestry of our career that allows us to stay in the work, to be refreshed, to feel like we're continuing to learn from one another and elevate the field. And it was very intentional that Fee and I entitled this workshop, Elevating Dietetic Supervision, because it's for everybody, right? It's for any stage of your career. There are things that you can learn from supervision. And supervision in and of itself, you know, over the last 5 years or so, Fee, we've been doing a lot of research on how supervision is, you know, kind of formulated and introduced in practice in other disciplines, particularly in the mental health disciplines. And we have found that learning that those philosophies, those approaches is incredibly helpful. Like every supervisor should know some of these supervision models because it's an incredible way to approach the work. And I know for myself, for many years, I was just supervising the way I had been supervised, you know, so I was lucky to have good supervisors, but really it was very beneficial to learn to really educate myself on the models of supervision and how to hold a space for a supervisee that feels warm, that feels like they can be safe enough to reflect on everything, their mistakes, the things that they're looking for in their career, the ways in which they want to approach clients, the things in their life that might be interfering with their ability to be present with a client, all of the ethical issues that come up they don't even know about, all the ways in which, you know, they can show up with a client in a humble way that's a collaboration so that the client can feel really supported and also feel like they are being empowered to take better care of themselves.
You're describing what your attendees are going to get much more of. And what really shines to me, and this has from knowing you and knowing Fiona and lots of people in our field, is how you're elevating and evolving it. You know, One of the questions I like to ask people when they come on is, where do you see the field going? Where do you see the field? And where do you see the field going versus where do you want it to go? And I think you too, and Marcy too, because she was part of some of these trainings in the past, right? You know, You're not just moving the field in the direction it's going, you're moving it in the way that it needs to and that you want it to go. Is that right, Fiona? Can you chime in?
Yeah, look, that's very kind and very generous of you to say, I will say, Robin. And, you know, if I lean into my heart space, I would say that that is my wish. That has always been my wish, is that our field and our profession moves forward into a space where more dietitians feel more empowered, and that in the same way as we really cheer for our clients and create space for them to bring their best, that we can do the same for each other as well. Like, that's actually my vision. And the vehicle for this, honestly, my greatest vehicle has been supervision as a supervisor and as a supervisee as well. Because, you know, early in my career, very similar to Lisa, I was extremely lucky to get what I would call really good supervision. And also, I will note prior to that, I had some really awful experiences in what was called supervision as a student, as a new grad, an emerging dietitian. And that really it really muddied the waters in terms of what I understood supervision was, how I felt in that space. And then this contrasted with my other learning experience. And I thought to myself, So this is what it feels like to be really cared for in that kind of professional, personal intersection that reflective supervision really takes on so beautifully. So I see it, honestly, as if I can be bold here just for a moment, I see supervision as a burnout prevention strategy. I see it as a career longevity tool. And I also see it as a way that we can really deepen our understanding about ourselves as professionals and as human beings in this quite complex, layered, often challenging work that we do in ways that are incredibly rewarding. You know, Lisa used the word re-energize, and that for me, and also from what I've heard from so many people engaging in supervision, that's how it feels. You feel re-energized going back into work. And goodness me, Robin, if there's anything that we need as a profession and as a field, we need some more energy, don't we?
We do. And you answered my next question. I'll go back in a minute to another thought, but you really did answer my next question, which was, in true professional supervision, what can RDs expect? We can elaborate on that. But you've talked about, both of you just now, like how it would feel. And to your point earlier, Fiona, I've worn two hats, right, as a dietitian and a nurse practitioner. And in terms of my NP supervision, it could have been as not human enough as I had to stack 12 charts on the MD's desk. They would literally write their initials. I didn't see them. I didn't talk to them. There was not a learning experience there. To, you know, more in-depth meetings and really like learning in a group, to group supervision, and then really being able to seek out eventually people that I wanted to learn from, being able to finally make that decision, right? We all need CEUs, we need CEs, we go and do those things. But to really choose this, and you are offering CEUs, I did see that, but to really choose this as a way to further yourself and prevent burnout, because it's real. It's a thing. We're going to take a moment for a word from our sponsor. We'll be right back.
Galen Hope provides individualized, flexible, and evidence-based eating disorder and mental health treatment. Founded and led by renowned psychiatrist Dr. Wendy Oliver Pyatt and clinical psychologist Dr. Amy Boyers, the program treats adolescents and adults at their locations in Coral Gables and Delray Beach, Florida. Galen Hope's approach is grounded in high-frequency individual therapy, sophisticated psychiatry, extensive family support, and community integration. The program affirms and accommodates all genders, body shapes and sizes, and neurotypes, as well as being able to provide many of their services for individuals and families in Spanish.
Find out more at galenhope.com.
One of the next questions I had for both of you, but Lisa, let's start with you, is, and I want to just tell our listeners, though, because I said this before, and I want to make sure that as they're listening, they can search and find more about your training. And I believe they find it on the mindfuldietitian.com. Fiona, is that true?
Yeah, that's right, Robin. So the mindfuldietitian.com.au. And if dietitians who are interested in this training, which would be just very briefly clarify. So this is a training event that's suitable for dietitians who are either already supervising. So they may be, for example, IADEP accredited supervisors, or you don't have to be. You don't have to be an accredited supervisor at all. But what we do ask is that people have a really solid 5 to 6 years of clinical practice and have been engaging in your own supervision. So you've got some orientation to what this is, even on a foundational level. So the other way that people can find us is it just email me. I am a human being on the other end of the internet, and my email is themindfuldietitian@gmail.com, and I will get right back to you with the details.
And she's right. She does get right back to you. I know that to be true. So Lisa, what might get in the way of RDs not looking to get supervision, not undertaking it? Is that a piece that you think it's maybe because it seems nebulous to some people still, like, or maybe authoritative versus the complete opposite of what we've talked about?
Yeah, exactly. I think, well, it goes back to what we were talking about before. You don't know what you don't know. And so especially for an early entry dietitian, there's this sense that you've gotten all of this knowledge through your academic and clinical internship. There's still so much to consolidate and integrate that's hard to think about going to supervision and having somebody kind of, you know, mess around in there, I think. But, you know, in my opinion, it's really one of these experiences where if people are encouraged to do supervision, once they have experienced it a few times, they're going to recognize that this is really affirming for their professionalism. It's very helpful in terms of how they are bridging from the academic into the clinical work. It's very supportive of their development in the profession. And so once you experience it, I feel like it's something that is so valuable, you don't want to let it go. So I think there's just not enough traction in the field of dietetics, maybe around supervision, for people to really value it and understand about it. In the eating disorder field, dietitians work alongside mental health providers who have been, you know, doing supervision for a long time. And so there's more of an interface, and there's more eating disorder dietitians who practice supervision or partake of supervision. I think there's a little bit of a misunderstanding of the word supervision, you know, in that context we were talking about before, that it's sort of a managerial or a corrective or, you know, a competency-based oversight, right? That's really pre-professional for a lot of people. And it might be, and I'd be really curious to hear from Fee what happens in Australia. I think that for some folks, there isn't enough knowledge about it. There isn't enough encouragement professionally. And I wonder about the financial piece. You know, a long, long time ago, I thought that finances were the reason that dietitians weren't getting supervision enough. And so I used to do basically pro bono supervision. And I don't think it was that. I think it was that they just didn't have a value system attached to supervision yet. Because once they were involved, they usually stayed involved, regardless of what the fee was. And even if it is financially based concern, they can always find supervision through a variety of modalities that will be less expensive, right? They could do group supervision. They could do a supervision that's just for two or three people. There are some community-based supervisions that are amazing, or even internet-based supervisions that are less expensive. So I'm less inclined to think it's a financial barrier as I am to just people understanding what it is, and to getting supervisors out there who really have done the work and done the training to be a supervisor, you know, a real quality supervisor who can show up and be present and help supervisees.
I think that part is very key. I think someone who really knows themselves and has, you know, already done this and has had training in this, because then as a supervisee, you can't, I don't know, I've been in situations where I can't wait to talk to who has been my supervisor to go over cases. And yet I've also had situations where I thought, oh dear, I don't know that I want to go to that meeting today. And you two are really helping to change that. So Fiona, what kinds of topics? Well, first, do you want to elaborate at all to anything Lisa just said, Fiona?
Oh, Robin, I was nodding along furiously as Lisa was talking. And then as you were talking too, when you said, you know, there are some times when I can't wait to, you know, to go to supervision. And that's when you know supervision's going well. So as a supervisee, when I attend my own supervision, and as Lisa said, this is a career-long process. I've been a dietitian specializing in eating disorders for over 20 years now, and I can't see a day where I won't engage in my own supervision because of the personally and professionally rewarding nature of it. And I so relate to this sense of, ooh, I can't wait to take this to my supervisor because I want to understand what happened there in that moment or in this situation, or I'm so curious what my supervisor might help me to understand about this dilemma that I have, or this, you know, the next steps that I'm planning in this particular, you know, piece of work or whatever it is the topic is. I'm so in alignment with that, and that what we are dreaming of is that everybody feels like that, mm-hmm. that everybody feels really held, that builds a renewed sense of confidence and competence in our own capacity to show up as humans. Because in dietetics, I mean, it could be said that, you know, this is not our strong point, really, that we are very much trained to be educators, that we're trained to like do things to people, and that our training, for the most part, not universally, but for the most part, kind of lacks that humanness that we can really build so strongly through the supervision process. It's just beautiful.
I agree with you. I want to go to just some dates here. I have one more question if we have time for it, but I want to go to actually some of the almost outline, if you will, of what's happening. So it is April, and the live online part A is April 25th, and that's Eastern time. That's an evening time. The live online part B is May 2nd, also an evening, but these are recorded for folks in other places around the world. And this podcast reaches 63 countries. So anyone in any of these countries can participate. Also, there's a choice of a full day live face-to-face in Seattle and in Austin. In Boston with both Lisa and Fiona, the Seattle and Austin, just with Fiona in Boston, on May 18th, this is just after the META conference, the Multidisciplinary Eating Disorder Association conference. I'm so excited to see you both there. And then Fiona's jumping the pond again to go to London for another in-person day. This is really all-encompassing of how dietitians who have been supervised, who are supervisors, can learn and do more. And it's so global. It's just fabulous. One thing I think that's very cool in your outline too, and it's the last point, is navigating tricky conversations. And so that leads me to my last question. We have about, you know, 3 or 4 minutes left. What kinds of tricky topics can dietitians typically bring to supervision? Fiona, would you care to answer that one?
Goodness. Okay. So I'll think of a couple, and then I'm going to pass the baton to Lisa and give you a chance, Lisa, to maybe have a think on this for a sec. All right. Okay. So one tricky topic that people will often bring is around how to support young people and their families. So it might address the question of who is my client, how do I best meet the needs of this young people and the family that I am working with. Along in that might be, help, I feel like I'm on my own. The other members of the team are not replying to me and I'm feeling very isolated. So that's another kind of tricky topic that people bring. Scope of practice, I would say, is tippity top of the tree of I'm scared that somebody's going to find out I'm doing this counselling. I'm sure we can all giggle because
I was just going to say a little bit of imposter syndrome, maybe, right?
Imposter feelings. That's exactly right. Should I be doing this? That's a top of the tree tricky topic. Is tricky conversation. One of the tricky edges of that might be, you know, when we compassionately have conversations around what is the edge of our practice and guiding our supervisees to maintain safe and ethical care of their clients and hand over things that are best suited to another practitioner. So I'm going to finish there and hand the baton to Lise.
Nice job, Fee. You covered about five of them. Okay, I have a couple more off the top of my head. One is for early entry dietitians, I find that they are so enthusiastic about giving and supporting and helping that they need some help to create space in the relationship with their clients, so the client has some room to show up as well. So that's one aspect. Another aspect of that is also learning that setting boundaries is a very therapeutic process for the client as well as for them. And so trying to help them not overreach and overextend, which leads me to the second thought, which is self-care. And really, you know, in the supervisory practice, often you're in this parallel process like we are with our clients of really interacting and demonstrating deep self-compassion and a deep awareness of what you're bringing into the room and, you know, kind of facilitating that groundedness in the individual. And those are a couple of things that I don't think they teach in dietetic school.
No, yeah. I don't think they do.
I'll throw it back to Fee. Fee, you have some more on your head?
Oh, no, I think those are some of the top ones. I mean, I think they can really rotate around boundaries, self-care boundaries, safe and ethical dilemmas, I think is a big one. And boundaries. Did I mention boundaries?
And space, right? Creating that therapeutic space like that. I think that's another big one, but that's all, you know, that's early on, but also of course extends across the span of our work too.
So folks can find this training information on the mindfuldietitian.com.au. The dates are coming up. We need you to sign up. We need you to go because it's a phenomenal opportunity. It truly is. And you actually, like we said before, there are CPEUs, including ethics, which is a big piece for dietitians. So folks can reach the training information where I had just listed, but also your Gmail again, Fiona, is themindfuldietitian@gmail.com.
Yes. Thank you so much, Robin. Yes, it is.
And this is a training that is virtual, recorded in person in 4 cities, 1 in the UK, 3 in the United States. And it's just phenomenal. So thank you both for all of your time. I always say this and I mean it, and people have come back. They've wanted to come back and beyond. So I hope that you two will do that. Thank you both for elevating and evolving the field so much.
Thank you for joining us for the NPRD podcast with Robin Kiewit. We invite you to subscribe, download, rate and review us, and share this valuable podcast with friends and family. Help and hope is found here. For more, just go to robinkiewit.com. That's robinkiewit.com. Or check out thenprd.com.